When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. This is Cabali and Mac. He's Mark Cabali, Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show. Been with the Steelers for years, covering every single thing. Plenty of trade deadlines. The trade deadline gets a little different every year, though. I'm Chris Mack. Hey, how Yin's doing? We appreciate you joining us. It was supposed to be 10:30. And then Kaboom wanted to change it to 10 because Kaboom's a busy guy this time of year and he's got things going on. So we went to jump on to 10, and then Kaboom was redecorating his office down there in the basement. Whoa. So here we are, 10 after 10, getting started.
You're lying. You're absolutely lying to start off the program. I come on, and there's nobody here, so I'm trying to find the text. I'm looking through stuff. You want me to reference the text? Reference this stuff.
Do you think people like when we bitch at each other like this, or do you think it annoys the shit out of them?
Nobody's watching. You see, nobody's even on here because you said 10:30.
Well,
by the way, can you do
the time we were going to do it?
Speaking of that, can you do some line dancing for us?
I'm terrible at it, man.
Oh,
I'm awful.
My God.
If you would have actually been ready at 10:30 rather than forcing me to start 20 minutes early, I might have pulled that video up.
Oh, my.
Here we go. Bad. Monday morning, I said 10:30 on Wednesday. Does that work? You said yes. It's right here in the text messages, pal.
Well, whatever. I say yes just so you quit texting me.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to coordinate a time so the people can get together with us and talk Steelers.
We always do 10 o'clock on Wednesday. You know that.
Do we?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Do we? You don't even know what time we start because you show up whenever the hell you feel like it.
Sure. I was napping until about 9:51, so I was good. Refresh.
Thanks to Arch for supporting the show. Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Doesn't matter what night of the week. Last night, you could have been down there to watch some red hot action if you're into second tier college football. Same thing goes tonight, Thursday night football, Monday night football, of course, all day, Saturday and Sunday. The best menu, the best ice cold beers, including lots of iron and IC light. And Monday through Thursday nights, like tonight, 80-cent wing nights as well down at Archie's on Carson. Get on down there, get some fantastic wings, never frozen, always fresh, always delicious. We appreciate Arch for supporting the show. So the trade deadline came and went yesterday, Kaboom. Lots of people mad that Omar Khan didn't trade for Shohei Ohtani or Connor McDavid or anything else under the sun, maybe for a bridge or a monument from some major city. They're mad that he didn't make a deal, Mark. Yeah. Why didn't he make a deal? Jacoby Myers goes from the Raiders to where did Myers end up going? Doesn't matter. For a fourth
Jacksonville.
Pick, a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick.
Jacksonville.
And, thank you. Rashid Shaheed goes from the Saints to the Seahawks for a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick. Lots of people are big mad that Omar didn't go out and get a wide receiver, even though they did officially sign Marquez Valdes-Scantling earlier this week. Some people mad they didn't do more to fortify the defensive side of the ball, given their struggles this year, the up and down nature of the defense. Although I don't know, they weren't trading for Quinnen Williams. They weren't trading for Sauce Gardner. So let me start with you, Pally. Where do you come down on this? Because I know how I feel about it, and I think we're pretty much in line here. But I'll let you express your idea of what happened at the trade deadline or didn't happen first.
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd go out and you'd have found somebody, right? You would have found somehow to get a Jaylen Waddle. I mean, A.J. Brown, even though it didn't sound like he was really on the market.
No.
But that was unrealistic. And don't we only have to look to last year to see Mike Williams and see just because you add a guy that you think might help might not really fit in here. And I do believe that there were some guys that they felt that did not fit. And there were some guys they were in on pretty deep. And there were some guys that they were in on pretty deep that stayed put. Do I know exact names of these people? No. But he went out there and they tried to upgrade the wide receiver two position. And they just weren't going to sell the farm. And you're saying, okay, you sell
third day. That's right.
You sell the farm to a degree if it's a guy that you know is going to come in and be a difference maker. When did Jakobi Meyers turn into Jerry Rice? When?
Yeah. And look, I'll when? Sit here and counterpoint all the arguments here, because I think it's important to be clear about the fact that, like you said, Jakobi Meyers and Rashid Shaheed, they're good players. I'm not saying they're not good players, yeah. But I don't think, given what was given for them in compensation to each of those two teams, that it was worth it given this particular offense. Rashid Shaheed or Jakobi Meyers aren't going to be the difference, I don't think, in this team making a deep postseason run. Now, I will listen to the argument about what happens if DK goes down. Well, if DK goes down, I think they're pretty well screwed anyway.
And you can make that argument with anybody. What happens to the Seahawks if Sam Darnold goes down, right?
Right.
And you can say that to every single team in the league. Pick out a player. What happens if?
The only guy you were going to that may have been available on the trade market that could have stepped up into a true number one wide receiver role if they came here and Metcalf got hurt would have been a Jaylen Waddle, right? But yeah. I can't imagine what the Dolphins were asking for Jaylen Waddle if Jakobi Meyers and Rashid Shaheed both each got a pair of picks in return. We're probably talking a first-round pick. Maybe a second rounder.
Maybe even more than that.
Be honest. Maybe a player in return. Who knows?
Something there. I mean, is at that point, he's now owed, I mean, on a Waddle thing, he's owed whatever. The money's not really relevant this year because it's only half of what it is. But he got two more years left on that deal. I'm talking about Waddle. Mm-hmm. I think 12, 13 next year. Then it bumps up to like cap hit of 25, 30 after that. So you're looking for a year, year and a half max for him. Plus you have to give up all that compensation. I just don't think, I mean, you talk about Omar and he does make trades a lot, but they just don't really do a lot around the trade deadline in his four trade deadlines. He did last year with Mike Williams and Preston Smith. Other than that, they
and
got
Mike
rid of Chase
sat around and languished on the sideline after
because
having
he did not
fit.
Remember, he did not fit. We're sitting here complaining that they didn't go out and find somebody, right? We're saying, well, they needed to go find somebody. There's much more to that than it just. It's not as Mike Tomlin would say. You just don't make trades in vacuums. There's a lot of things. Maybe they were in on something. Maybe this price wasn't there. Maybe Jakobi Meyers said, I want to go to Jacksonville because my aunt lives there. It's a lot more than just saying, I can't believe they didn't get him. All they had to do was add a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, and they could have had him. I mean, it's much more to it than just that.
So I'll say this. This isn't to completely – I'm not trying to completely absolve the Steelers of not doing anything yesterday. To your point, I think they were trying to do some things behind the scenes. They didn't like the compensation that was being asked for the players that they may have been interested in. I wouldn't have had a problem had they added another wide receiver to the mix. But I'm going to state it again because everybody's pointing to the draft picks, right? They got 12 picks in next year's draft. Seven of them are day three picks. So fourth round or later. And I've seen a lot of people make the argument, well, what do those picks turn into anyway? And what are you going to do with those picks? I mean, I'll tell you what you can do.
Depth.
With some of those picks. And not just depth. Like, depth, yes. But when you've got 3 6th round picks, well, you can take two of those and maybe move up in the fifth for another fifth rounder, right? And the dominoes start to fall. You got 2 5th rounders. You trade one of those and one of your fourth rounders for another third rounder.
Options, huh?
And now you've got 3 3rd rounders. And so maybe you trade 2 3rd rounders for another second round pick. And now you've got 2 2nd round picks. And who knows what you can do with that in a year where we don't know what Aaron Rodgers' future holds. The guy turns 42 in 27 days. We don't know if he'll be back. And even if he is back, I imagine you're going to want to set up your quarterback of the future, whether you're a big Will Howard fan or whatever it may be, in a draft where you need to get younger, not just at quarterback, but on the defensive side of the ball as well. Everybody complaining about how old and tired and washed this defense is with Hayward and Watt and Ramsey. Well, you got to get younger there too. Like, I'm not saying I'm grasping, holding on to these draft picks for dear life and I'm not letting go of them, but I will say it doesn't hurt to hold on to those draft picks if all you're getting in return is Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, we're not 100% sure of what kind of comp picks they're getting for Fields and Wilson. I think they were much more aggressive picks a month ago, 2 months ago. I don't know how that's going to work out. We're not going to find out until late. So those might not even be high-end picks. I mean, I'm not even talking about really picks right here. Do you really think when we look at this team that a number two receiver, Jacoby Myers, who's had 1,000-yard season. I'm not going to downplay that he's not a decent player, but is he a difference maker? I don't think he's a difference maker.
I think in a lot of offenses, Myers or Shaheed can be quality number two complements to a strong number one. But isn't Shaheed,
don't they have 3 Shaheeds on that team already?
Don't know.
Steelers, don't they have the same guy?
Yeah, I guess you could argue that Shaheed, Austin, Wilson are not all cut from the same cloth or the same mold, but they're all being asked. They all would have been asked to do similar things. I guess that's my point I was trying to make is, like, in a lot of offenses, Shaheed or Myers, like I said, would be a strong number two or a good number two to a strong number one. This is a different offense, man. You got 4 tight ends on the roster, 3 of whom you're trying to figure out how to use. One of whom you should probably all 3 you could get away with using more than you already do. And I just don't know. Like, I don't even know how Valdes-Scantling gets on the field at this point. Because Valdes-Scantling, I don't think, is appreciably better outside of his chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, which is 4 or 5 years ago, isn't appreciably better than Austin or Wilson. So I just... Shaheed or Myers was not going to move the needle enough that I would have been willing to invest multiple draft picks, even if we are talking about third day draft picks.
I honestly do think if you look back on it, last year might have zapped them a little bit because Mike Williams wasn't a fit here. He just wasn't a fit. I mean, call it for what it was. And some of those receivers that went, I don't think the Steelers feel that they fit here. So if they're not going to fit, they're 2 months and done. I'm giving up a 4th and a 5th and a whatever and a 6th and paying them $6 million. Maybe I like what I got. Maybe I like Calvin Austin. Maybe I can't live in my fears that DK Metcalf is going to get hurt, even though he's missed 6 games in 7 years. So the odds of him going out for the season are slim and none. I mean, knock on some wood here real quick.
Yeah, don't screw that up.
But, so I think people just want to sit here and complain about not making the move. Here's another thing about the trade deadline. I mentioned this yesterday on Twitter. If Kyle Duggar was acquired yesterday,
right,
does that make the Steelers all of a sudden all in and going for it, helping this defense out?
No, I think it's a good point because Duggar in his first game immediately had an impact, right?
Yes, and I mean, just because it didn't happen on the deadline?
It just happened to happen a week. It just happened to go down a week earlier than the trade deadline. So I think that's a really good point. And I do think a lot of it, what's funny to me is people will tell you, oh, well, they're supposed to be all in. They're all in on this year. Yet at the same time, we'll talk out of the other side of their mouth and say, this team ain't going to do crap anyway. This team ain't going to go farther than the wild card. Well, if you really believe, for the most part, I believe pretty much the same. Unless something crazy happens where this defense starts to play every week like they did against the Colts and like they did against the Patriots and like they did against the Vikings and the Browns. And unless the offense can click on a regular basis because they've had their down weeks, I don't think they're long for the playoffs beyond one round either. Whether that's the divisional round or the wild card round, I mean, probably the wild card round. But my point is this. If that's what you believe, then why are you asking them to deal picks away for next year when they've got so much draft capital? And why are you asking them to go all in even farther on now, right? Like, if you really believe as a fan that this team isn't, regardless of what they do, that Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed or whatever other receiver not named Jaylen Waddle or A.J. Brown wouldn't have pushed them beyond the wild card round this year, then why are you losing your mind over it? And there was a lot of anger and still is in the wake of the trade deadline. And I don't get it. If you don't think they're a championship caliber team anyway, then why do you want them to continue to forsake further building of what everybody has already acknowledged is an old roster, especially on defense, for guys that are most likely going to be gone in the offseason or aren't enough to push them beyond another round of the playoffs this year anyway?
Yeah, it's, you like, know, on another thing is, and I was talking to our good friend Tone, and he said, I mean, he brought up a good point together here. This trade deadline's so important for everybody. Why didn't the odds change on one single team in the NFL after the trade deadline? Their Super Bowl odds remained the same, every single one of them.
Even the Colts?
Everyone. Hmm.
That's a good point. I mean, I do think, and thanks to the Dan Heck team, by the way, for supporting the show. We appreciate them. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The entire team there, ready, willing, and able to help you find the perfect home for you and or your family. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all waiting for you. Go check out the listings available if you're looking to move into a new home at heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. I do find it interesting that even the Colts number wouldn't move, because that Sauce Gardner deal is a major one. And they gave up a lot, but they're clearly saying, hey, we believe in what we have on offense. We want to tinker with and upgrade some of the things going on defense. Although that didn't appear to be a massive problem for them, at least this past Sunday. And we're going to go all in on trying to shut down Allen and Mahomes in the playoffs.
Yeah. What was the compensation for the Sauce?
Whew. It was multiple firsts. Was it not?
It was a receiver, wasn't it?
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell, and I want to say multiple first-round picks.
Two first-rounders, right?
Yeah. So that's and look, Sauce Gardner is good, but that's a lot to give. That's basically a Micah Parsons trade, yeah, is what that is. That's how much you're giving up.
Then you got the Cowboys just giving up people, and they're 3-5 and just got whipped by the Cardinals. And they're giving up picks left and right just to get Quinnen Williams, who might be on the downside of – his peakness, and Mattie Smith as well. So to me, I just don't think that you acquire people with the trade deadline and it makes a world of difference, unless you have a glaring, glaring, glaring need like safety with the Steelers. If the Steelers had a glaring need at wide receiver too, they didn't have Jonnu Smith, Freiermuth, Darnell, Austin, Roman, Skoranek, whatever, that group, Connor Hayward, then you would be like, they should have added that. But they got some people.
Well, see, again, so I think it's important to acknowledge, like, we can, both things can be true. Like, could they have a better number two option at wide receiver? Sure. And people instantly go, oh, they shouldn't have traded Pickens. Look what Pickens is doing in Dallas.
Well, that tells you how much they value draft picks, too. I mean, we're talking about George Pickens for a third and Jacoby Myers for a fourth?
Yeah, a fourth.
A little different there.
A fourth and a sixth. So could they have a better number two wide receiver option? Yeah, absolutely they could. But again, in this offense, is it going to get used the same way it would in 90% of the other offenses around the league? No, it's not. It's about the tight ends. It's about Darnell Washington continuing to grow into a bigger role every week. It's about Pat Freiermuth as the zone buster, right? It's about getting Jonnu Smith more involved because he hasn't been involved nearly enough and actually catching the ball when it's thrown to him. So you do have all these other weapons. I just think there's got to be a comfort level as a fan with, hey, these are the weapons they have. Could they have added another one to the mix? Sure. But was it going to get the level of production in the back half of the season commensurate with whatever they gave up?
Yeah, I can guarantee you that Omar was working his ass off with these phones trying to find a deal. For him to just step back, you know, we know how much he likes to make some moves, saying, you know what, nothing just quite makes sense. Nothing must really not have made any sense for him whatsoever if they didn't decide to pull the trigger here. You saw what they did? When was that? May or June with the Ramsey they're not afraid to make trades. They're not afraid to make moves. So for it to get to the point where, okay, let's just ump it from a sixth to a fifth and we can get this guy, he probably would have did that in the heartbeat if the guy fit in what they wanted to do and, you know, come in and have him do. And you know what? Somebody in the comments made a very astute point here, and I should look this up. What did Amari Cooper do for the Bills last year, right? I mean, how many people were traded, say even the receiver position last year, just look at last year, and made an impact for a team? Probably not that many. I mean, nothing's coming off the top of my head, but I'm only thinking Mike Williams, Amari Cooper. I don't know who else was traded last year. And Brian Garrett, it was not a colonoscopy. It was just a 6-month checkup, you know?
What, yesterday's random photo from the doctor's office? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm pretty religious with the 2 to 3 year colonoscopy, so I'll keep you informed the next time I have to go there.
I don't think we need any details on that.
Sometimes you got to go up there and check and see what's nothing's growing up there, so you better go if you're max age. By the way, let's do some of those dances for us again.
I was terrible. I have no coordination. I'm not hiding from it.
That lady that was teaching you.
Yeah.
I've seen ladies like that, like line dancing, whatever, at the Happy Heifer in Periopolis 30 years ago. They're just smooth and just knows exactly
what they're doing. Her name was Claudette. If you didn't see it, it's on the Y108 social media accounts. Some woman trying her damnedest to teach me how to country line dance because I'm doing a thing out at Heidelberg Volunteer Fire Department next Saturday, the 15th, where they're raising money and they're going to do line dancing, all kinds of stuff. So she was trying to teach me, and it was just a disaster. Like, I look like
Who was taping it?
I don't know. You know who Amy Mock is?
I thought it might have been Tenuta.
No, Tenuta doesn't.
He could have put like some that. Really.
Nuda was at four different high school football practices taping something, probably. Yeah,
some kind of fancy stuff.
No. But yeah, if you need a good laugh, you can go to the Y108 social media accounts and see me attempt to line dance.
You were going the wrong way.
I was going backwards. I was tapping the wrong foot and like it nearly fell over at one point. No sense of balance or coordination.
You know, apparently there's some kids' school dances coming up, and I said to my kid when she was here with her friend the other night, I said, "You guys going to the dance?" "No, we don't dance." I'm like, "I used to go to the dances."
That was the question.
She goes, "What, did you dance?" And I said, "No, we sat in a corner and wait for them to serve potato chips and soda."
I was going to ask you what your go-to dance move is, because did you see the video of Freddie Freeman last night?
No, I did not.
He was doing the worm at the Dodgers World Series.
I know people can do worms, but I don't know. We used, you know what? We used to dance making fun of my buddy back in college days because every time he danced, he'd always have to clap his hands. So that's, we would be making fun of him and whatever.
So you, even though you like to stand, right? It's more comfortable for the Achilles after a while, right?
I had to move around. I can't sit.
So
can't
even
sit,
though you like to stand and move around and try to keep the, you know, the legs limber, if you go to a wedding or something, you're not getting up and dancing a little bit. Not even after a couple pops, a couple IC lights, a couple mangoes.
No. You know what you did at the high school, middle school, junior high dances? You're hoping that some pretty girl would come and ask you to slow dance. You remember that? You remember those days?
I remember those days. We were also, when I was in middle school, at the peak of like when the grinding thing was going on. So like people would be like basically dry humping on the dance floor, like 13-year-olds dry humping on the dance floor. Just disgusting.
And Mr. Miller, gym teacher, was supposed to be a chaperone, didn't care.
He's like, no, no. Well, there would be the occasional teacher who, you know, they tried to crack down a little bit and they'd come over and be like, you two got to knock it off. What are you doing? You know, you'd get a shop teacher or something that didn't want to be there on a Friday night for a dance.
They don't do shop anymore, do they?
They do. They call it AET.
I got in a fight in shop class one time.
For what? Would you?
I don't know. I mean, everybody was picking on a kid, so he thought it was me. And incidentally, it wasn't me. So I just got them with a cast on for 12 weeks because I broke my leg.
It off in someone's ass.
No, in baseball, football. And he punched me right in the face, so he ended up going through the window.
Ooh. Fiery kaboom.
And I had to go home and wake up my dad because he worked midnight and said, Dad, you got to call the school. He goes, why? I got in a fight. I think that's the proudest he ever was of me.
They don't call it shop anymore, though. It's advanced engineering technologies or something like that. My kid loves it. He just built a whole bridge out of popsicle sticks.
Oh, you know what? In the back room, I got my one of my shop classes in eighth grade. One of my projects. It was a bookshelf. What do you call that? Not bookshelf.
Bookends.
Yeah, but you put books between them, and you
bookends.
Oh, it is so pathetic. It's like leaning on one side and one side's this, and I got all wood filler in, and it was so bad.
I still have one here somewhere in the basement office that literally is one of my dad's shop projects.
Office. That's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it sound more official.
I took economics. Home ec, I used to make Rice Krispie treats. I remember that.
I learned how to sew in home ec. They don't call it home ec anymore.
I sew. I made a pillow, a little blue and pink pillow.
Yeah, I made a little pillow with the Penguins logo on it. I had to cut the Penguins logo out of felt. And, you know,
What's going on? Bring back shop and home ec to school.
Well, they have them. They just call them different names. Like home ec is called FCS, Family Consumer Sciences or something. They got to make it sound more sophisticated. It's still home ec and it's still shop. But they do it in like middle school now. Kids in high school are taking like AP classes and stuff. I don't took any AP
Yeah, me
classes.
Too. Okay,
I was too dumb for that stuff.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Back into football. Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 first, though, for supporting the show. They got that gift card promotion out there that you got to get in on just in time for the holidays. Get on out there. It's in-store only. So they're right there on 19 in McMurray Peters Township area in Lakeview Square, right next to Juniper Grill. Get on out there now. They got an awesome promotion where if you buy a $100 gift card, you're going to then also get an additional $20 gift card for a future service. That runs through the end of the year. From now through the end of the year, perfect for the holidays. You get somebody a $100 gift card in store, you're also going to get another $20 gift card for a future service as well. They've remodeled the place. It looks fantastic. Get on out there. Don't be ashamed to get your feet taken care of, boys, because, you know, it's just, it's nice. Makes you feel pretty, right, Kaboom?
I mean, this is not authorized by the owners, but if you bring in TJ, the DJ's article, he'll give you 5% off the...
That's not true. Nailstudio2.com online. You can book 24/7. Nail Studio II. It's a Roman numeral. Nailstudioii.com. 724-941-4595. We appreciate them supporting the show. I know what I wanted to bring up. Our buddy Dave Damashek, not only texted us at the start of the show mocking you for taking a nap at 9 a.m., but also
with that?
I don't know. You got to ask Dave. Also responded to the show on Twitter in the comments saying, "We've talked about this for 8 months, fellas. The people talking out both sides of their mouths are the Schizo Stillers fans. If winning in 25, you screwed up.
You got to do it in Damashek voice.
I can't do a Damashek voice, and I don't want to do it a disservice. Pal, we've talked about this for 8 months, fellas. The people talking out both sides of their mouths are the Schizo Stillers. If winning in 25 was the priority, they'd have kept Pickens. If setting up for 26 was the priority, they wouldn't have chased the 41-year-old quarterback Darius Slay, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Dave Damashek." That wasn't a very good Damashek voice, but I tried.
You got to really hone in more on the Yinzer accent.
Yeah, it's tough. But anyway.
He has the Yinzer accent, and he turns it up to 100 when he's on the radio.
Yeah, he really does, and I love it. I think Dave's point is valid, though. We talked about it months ago, maybe weeks ago. I don't know. The fall is a blur now. But Omar Khan has done, I think we both agree, a really good job of being all in on this year while still building up for next year and beyond. And again, people are going to argue that fourth and fifth and sixth round draft picks don't mean anything, but they have got such an accumulation of draft picks now with a 41-year-old quarterback, soon to be 42, who may be done at the end of the year, with Darius Slay, with Cam Hayward, all these older guys on defense, that they are set up in a position where even if they don't think that there's a quarterback worth the first-round draft pick, and there may not be in this year's draft, let's be honest, none of the guys we talked about back in the summer have impressed, really, that they still have the picks necessary to accumulate a good amount of depth, whether that's by trading up out of the fifth and sixth round into the third and fourth, maybe even second. And that's a really important part of this, is that Omar has built this thing up for this year as much as possible while still trying to hold on to a plan for the future, I think.
Yeah, one eye on today, one eye on tomorrow, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's a very fine line between squashing grapes and drinking wine, right?
Thank you, Coach T.
So it is. It's hard. I mean, I've asked Tomlin about that before, and he never once answered it. I think I've asked him three times about that. You know, how do you look at now and later in the same view? And he won't answer it because you do
That's not really, as much as he's involved with the composition of the roster, I don't know if that's necessarily
He's getting a run by him. Come on.
Yeah, but I do think, when it comes time to add a player, I don't know if Mike Tomlin's first concern is, are we going to have to give up a fourth and sixth round pick? I think his concern is more, like you said earlier, how's this guy going to fit in? And can we use
him? Even when it comes to roster building and you have to cut some people and not cut some people, how do you go about that? Because you might need this guy next year, but you don't necessarily need him this year. Type of situation, like, is Mark Robinson, who's back on the practice squad, better than Carson Bruner? Probably, but Mark Robinson is a free agent, and Carson Bruner is just a rookie. I mean, how do you balance a guy who's better and a guy who's has more, you know, left on his contract? So it's a different part of the game, but very similar aspect of it. But as for Omar, man, if there was, I just wonder, and I don't know this, they were in on some of these receivers that did not go. They were heavily in on some of them did not go, which we can then deduce that it was price, right? They won too much. Does he go to Art and say, or I will say Art, I wouldn't even say Mike, hey, I can get this. However, it's going to taste X, Y, and Z. And Art like, no, we're not going there. Or is it just straight Omar saying, nah, I'm not going there, man?
I don't think Art is his dad. I've said that before.
I think, though, when it comes to cash like that and you know, potentially trades like that, how much you have to pay, I think he does have to.
I think that's an important point. If you're talking about like a Jalen Waddle type deal, right, where like you said, they've got a ton of money committed on that contract for the next couple of years. When you're talking about trading for Ramsey and signing him to an extension, stuff like that, yeah, absolutely. That's eight-figure deals. You got to talk to the owner about that. I do think Art would get involved at that level. But I think if you're talking about the level of, hey, we got a chance to trade a fourth and a sixth-round pick for Jakobi Meyers or a fourth and a fifth for Rashid Shaheed, like, I don't think he's calling up Art to check in on those.
Or he calls up, hey, Art, I can get these, but it's going to cost me a second rounder and a fifth rounder. Art might just defer to him. I don't know how that.
Well, no, like I said, like if he had been on the phone with the Dolphins yesterday and they told him, hey, we're going to need a two and a four for Jalen Waddle.
Plus you have to play $10 million, $10 million, and $30 million.
Yes, that's the part where he goes, okay, there's significant amounts of future money committed to this guy. This is where I got to call up the guy with the checkbook and make sure he's okay with that. But I don't think, you know, the kind of deals we would have seen yesterday and that we did see in the wide receiver market, I don't
know. Like a Jakobi Meyers, I mean, we're talking about a fourth and a sixth for what? 2 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
8 games. You heard people saying, okay, just re-sign him. That's not an option anymore, man. That's not in the Steelers' freaking wheelhouse anymore. That's not their choice anymore. Once you get to that point, the player determines not only how much they want to get paid and where they want to go. So you just can't re-up somebody like a Jakobi Meyers. He does what he wants to. He earned his free agency after 2 years from, just like Kyle Duggar now has. He dumped those last 2 years. Fine. I'm going to go get paid. I'm going to see what free agency brings me next year. You can't force him to go sign with the Steelers. So it's like, okay, we're going to give up a fourth and a sixth, then re-sign him. You can't guarantee that. No. Because
I think that's
the player has the power in this position.
That's another part of this future roster composition thing that I think, I don't think it's been lost, but maybe off some people's radar, is there's a lot of guys on this team that are reaching the end of their contracts after this year. Right. A lot of guys.
You think that's by happenstance, or you think
it's all coming together for a major roster overhaul? Maybe not at the top of the roster, right? T.J. Watt's not going anywhere. Cam Hayward's not going anywhere unless he decides to retire. Patrick Queen's not going anywhere. Joey Porter Jr., Jalen Ramsey, they're not going anywhere. But I do think that that second to third tier of the roster, especially the second tier, there will be major roster overhaul unless a bunch of guys really impress the hell out of them.
Which is fine. Hey, you don't do your job, we're going to find somebody. We have nothing committed to you.
Right.
You're leaving.
We got 12 draft picks. That's, you know,
that's the Omar way now. That's the Omar way now. If you don't show me you can do something this year, fine. We'll find somebody who can do it next year then.
We're in the middle of the season, and we'll talk plenty about the Chargers on Friday, and not to forget that there's a massive Sunday night game that we can definitely get into how they build off of the Colts game
Who traded for a tackle, by the way. But
well, they kind of had to, didn't they? They got nothing left.
Yeah. They should have traded Andres Pete.
But it's all building towards one philosophy in the offseason, which is we got cap space, we got roster availability, and we got draft picks. And that's how, if your one-year experiment with Aaron Rodgers doesn't get you what you wanted it to get you, it's very easy to pull the ripcord and say, all right, back to the drawing board, boys.
I don't want to speak for the masses here, because I'm sure there's people on both sides, but isn't the least of your problems right now in this team is the offense?
Yes.
And we heard that from a lot of people right now. You know, the last thing I'm worried about is the offense. We need to upgrade the defense. But, hey, I can't believe we didn't get another offensive weapon, because at some point we're going to have to score 50 points.
Yeah, I can't believe we didn't get another guy who's going to get two or three targets a game. And yeah, it's I think the point really needs to be driven home that you made that if the Kyle Duggar trade happened yesterday rather than last week, people would feel pretty good about the trade deadline, I think.
Oh, man, we got Kyle Duggar, and you only have to pay him $5 million and swap sixth and the seventh round pick and have nothing else earmarked for him? That's a great trade. And then he's a starter. He got moved to what? After his first, he's already the starting safety. Juan Thornhill is like, see ya. He's already out of the depth chart as the number one. That'd be one heck of a freaking trade.
Yeah, I think the timing has a lot to do with it. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. They've been great on board since the very beginning. Get your furnace checked out before it's running all the time. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call at 412-297-1852. Best part of that furnace checkup right now, if you donate a new article of kids' clothing or a new unwrapped kids' toy, they'll cut the price in half. That furnace checkup will only be $39.99 instead of $79.99, and that item will get donated to the Foster Love Project as well, assisting families that host foster children. So message them on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. Get that furnace checked out before it's running 24/7, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Where was I going to go? Oh, yeah. So, massive game Sunday night against the Chargers, because nothing that you did defensively on Sunday against Indy means anything if you go out there and give up 450 yards of offense to Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers.
I'm distracted.
By what?
The people in the comments here talking about my full-sized ice cubes. What kind of ice cubes do you want me to get? You want me to, like, break him up with a hammer or something? What's wrong?
Well, hold on. Let me hold that up.
It's like full-size ice cubes. Who cares?
Normal ice cubes.
I know. I mean, what are we talking about here? First of all, ice dispenser cubes. How do you even know that? Second of all, why do you even care? Third of all, why are you even commenting about that?
People want to know what you're drinking. People are guessing.
I'm not drinking a toddy yet. That's later.
Some soda? Some cola? Some Coke, some pop,
some caffeine,
some RC Cola.
I'm a big fan of the refrigerator dispenser ice. I don't have to fill up the things and go. You remember those back in the day?
So our last refrigerator, the ice maker stopped working.
So you bought one of those table ones, didn't you?
And yeah, we have one of those. Which, like, if you have people over and they're having lots of drinks, you know, you got extra ice. But they're the little, like, round nuggets, like the almost like Chick-fil-A ice. You know the Chick-fil-A? Yeah. That's the good ice.
Yeah, that's fine, really good. I'm not going out of my way to get ice for something. I already had my coffee, took my nap. Now I got to wake back up with some more caffeine.
You had your pumpkin spice creamer with a little coffee mixed in?
No, I don't even know what it was. I just got the half and half.
How many packets of half and half do you put in?
No, I bought the jug. It was like $2.
How much do you pour in?
No, a whole, I don't even know. Until it turns us, so I don't measure.
Is it a 2 count, a 3 count?
It's a color count. I know the right shade I'm looking for.
What shade?
Oh, I don't know. Taupe. Top.
What the hell's taupe?
Top.
What the hell is taupe?
Not taupe. Let me see.
T-A-U-P-E, taupe?
Yeah, that type of color.
What color is that? I've never heard of that.
Like a brownish color. You never heard of
it. No, there we go. Taupe. There's a couple different taupes there.
Yeah, like something like that. You know, not pitch black, but not creamy milk.
Beige.
Beige. That's a great, terrible name.
Beige.
All right, what were you talking about Sunday night? I was just curious about the comments here.
Well, if anybody knows what taupe looks like, real quick, I might as well give them a plug.
Everybody knows what taupe means.
It would be our folks at Higgins Professional Painting. If you want some taupe on your walls, inside or outside, Interior, exterior painting, they handle it all. If you got a business, commercial, industrial, they'll do the drywall repairs as well. Whatever you need done in the house, they'll come on over. They'll give you the color consultation, all that. Get your free estimate scheduled today. HigginsProfessional.com. It could be a surprise Christmas present for your better half, right? They want the place to look nicer. You want it to look nicer? Higgins will do it. They've been doing it for 40 years in the Pittsburgh area. HigginsProfessional.com. Get that free estimate scheduled today. Give them a call, 412-344-0480, and tell them Kabali and Max sent you and that Kaboom told you to ask for Taupe.
No, I think they'll be here next week at some point. How about that?
Nice. They've been very busy. Which is a good sign.
Like I said, I'm going to see how what we can do with this room potentially.
Taupe.
I'm a worst painter ever. So anybody who has that type of talent just amazes me. I just can't do it.
I'm not very good at it either. I'll put the tape up and then it won't stick right and I'll still get paint on the ceiling.
Great painters don't even use tape. They've got that perfect.
Yeah, I don't have that. You've seen me try to line dance. I don't have that coordination.
I'm sure you were a great sports player too. You went to Baldwin, so we know you're stuck.
You know I can't play football.
Yeah. Or basketball or
anything. I'm honest about my lack of natural athletic ability. I'm totally comfortable with it.
I just don't have any left. Although I can still kick a 33-yard field goal, but that's beside the point.
You can't.
If Cameron Dicker and David Little or whatever the guy's name from Jacksonville can kick a 68-yarder at a buck and a quarter, I'm pumping one through at 33.
You're not. We're going to have to do this eventually at some point just to prove that you can't. Chargers-Steelers Sunday night. Like I said, nothing the defense did on Sunday against the Colts matters if they go out there in L.A. and give up 450 yards of offense to Justin Herbert.
Well, would you take 450 yards in a W?
I'll take a W, but you know as well as I do that if the defense doesn't play well in getting that W, then people need to see the defense. I think you used this phrase a couple times last week. They need to see them stack some quality performances. Mm-hmm. They've really only had 2.5, maybe, right? I consider the one against the Patriots kind of a half really good performance because you got all the turnovers, but you gave up really long drives. The performance against Minnesota and Cleveland, I thought, were both really good, even though, again, the Vikings in garbage time made things a little shaky. They've got to start stacking quality 60-minute performances on top of each other.
Yeah, I think it more for not me and you and Joe Q Yinzer out there, but for themselves. They have to show that this is starting to work here a little bit. And they did, they did what they needed to do against the Colts because, you know, they found something. Does that same scheme, and that wasn't never a big scheme cures all. But I think scheme or at least game plan in this instance had a lot to do with the success of the Steelers defense the other day. I mean, they had a plan. Mm-hmm. They stuck to that plan of how to stop the run and allow some of the back guys to play just not free, but just not a little bit differently to keep everything in front of them. So it worked. Now, does it work 2 weeks in a row, or do you have to switch things up? Do you even want to switch things up? Maybe this is just something that works against very similar to the Colts, or the Colts and the Chargers similar. Potentially.
Probably somewhat similar. I mean, I think they're similar in that if you pressure the quarterbacks, you can force them into mistakes like we saw this past weekend. I'm not asking for 6 turnovers again, but if you could get to Herbert 3 or 4 times and force another pick or two, then I feel really good about you walking away with a W and the defense not giving up 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, I loved how they stopped the run. It's just very simple. It's just, you know, it's old school. Old school with 2005 air. You know, just take on blocks. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to make the tackle. You know, you try to make the tackle. You just try not to get pushed on your rear end, right? And that's what a lot of those guys were trying to do on the defensive line, create a jumbled mess in the middle. There's no place for Jonathan Taylor to go. There's no place for Darryl Vidal to go, or whatever his name is. For the Colts, their offensive line's banged up, one-dimensional, decent receivers, but then you can play the back half like you want.
That's the thing. The offensive line being decimated has to be something you take advantage of. If you can't get a pass rush against this offensive line, if you can't contain the run game against this offensive line, then we're right back to square one with the defense.
Yeah, I don't even. When you lose arguably the best, one of the best tackles in the league, and replace him with potentially a guy you just pulled off the street or just traded for, you know, advantage Steelers, right?
Yeah. Friday, we will have, you don't know him, but I know him from my BetMGM network time, Mario Heron, who is one of the hosts of the Bolt Crew podcast, Chargers podcast.
Any in relation to Mario Lopez?
No, no. Although people named Mario typically have really good hair, I've found.
Ace? Lemieux?
Ace? So we'll get a little bit more of a behind the scenes preview on the Chargers on Friday. Real quick before we wrap up, because you got stuff you got to go do. Thursday night football tomorrow. Raiders, who you picked as a playoff team, against the Broncos. They're just Yonkos. In Denver, Thursday night. Who you got?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are pretty much toast. Done. You know, how much are they paying Pete Carroll? Like 18 mil?
Too much. How much are they paying Geno Smith? Too much.
Well, I thought you guys wanted Geno Smith. I thought he was best quarterback.
Who wanted Geno Smith?
I don't know. Somebody. I'm sure somebody out there wanted Geno Smith.
So you're taking the Broncos?
Yeah, I don't like the Broncos. You know, I got to stop looking past the dislike for the head coach and just start looking for the team for what it is.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. Of both of us, but we're both going to take the Broncos over the Raiders. I am one pick ahead of you in our picks competition.
Yeah, every week
that's one.
Yeah, every week you come up with some kind of cheat.
No, I didn't cheat. I didn't come up with. You got one more game wrong than I did last week, so I'm one game ahead of you now. That's how it works. Okay.
Why do I have whiteout for here? Who uses whiteout?
I don't know. Give it a good sniff and then go run and do what you got to do. And we will be back on Friday for a full, complete preview of Steelers-Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Thanks to all of the sponsors. We appreciate their support. We thank each and every one of you for joining us here. Make sure you're following on all the social media, at Cabali and Mac, and subscribed on YouTube as well. Have a great Wednesday, Ian's Animals.
See you. And City.